Hebrews 13, verse 5 is a good verse. We tend to quote the last part of the verse, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." But the first part of the verse leads into the second part of the verse. And that condition, let your behavior, or let your thinking, or let your actions be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. There's a negative that comes before the positive promise. And the negative is, don't get sucked into chasing after material things. Don't be covetous. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Someone has said that the sin of covetousness in the Ten Commandments virtually causes the breach of every other commandment. The reason a person commits adultery is because they covet another man's wife. The reason they steal is because they covet another man's material goods. It's a very powerful command. Now, covetousness is one of the root causes of gambling. One of the root problems that leads people to want to gamble. Now, gambling is a big, big problem in Singapore. Never mind any other country. Let's just focus on this country. Despite all the restrictions on gambling and all of the regulations that limit how you can gamble and where you can gamble, it's a big, big problem. I was talking to a man recently who's a professing Christian who has wasted a lot of his money on gambling. And I said to him, "Why do you do it?" And he said to me, "I just can't help it. I live for the buzz of it. I always think I'm going to win. It makes my life exciting." And I said to him, "Do you not realize how foolish it is? How, if you go into a bookies or a casino, there's about 5 booths where you pay in and 1 booth that pays out. I mean, the loser, the odds are stacked against every individual." He says, "I know, but you never think like that when you get caught up in the addiction of it, the excitement of it." Now, the statistic that I found when I was researching this week is that 5 billion Singapore dollars are spent. That's an estimate. There's no exact figure, but an estimated $5 billion is spent every year by those who gamble in Singapore. And 47% of Singaporeans, that's almost 1 in every 2, are involved in some form of gambling throughout the year. Now, there are some Christians who think there's nothing wrong with it. They say it's just harmless fun, playing the lotto, or doing a raffle, entering a raffle, or some type of lucky draw syndrome. Now, you always got to be careful when you're talking about these types of things, that you don't exaggerate. There's a world of difference between someone doing a raffle in their church and someone going to the casino and blowing all their family savings. I mean, we all understand that. But the underlying philosophy, the underlying way of thinking is the same. Whether you enter the raffle in your local church or some other charity that you're involved in, or you go to the casino, the underlying thinking is the same. Maybe if I could use another analogy, it's a bit like someone who steals a pen from work. They decide, "I'll take this pen home with me and use it." Now, that's still theft, isn't it? But there's a world of difference between stealing a pen from work and going out and robbing a bank with a mask and a gun. We all understand there's a difference too in the degree of it. But the philosophy of it, the underlying presuppositions that guide you to get involved in a raffle, seems harmless, or going to the casino, the same thinking or presuppositions are identical. Okay, it's the same way of thinking. Now, what is the definition of gamble? We need to get this straight. The word gamble is from an old English word, gammon. There's a game called backgammon. Again, it's from the same word. And gammon is an old English word that simply means games. Games. Now, gambling is more than just playing games. If I will give you a definition, and you can go into various dictionaries and you'll get different definitions, but all of them virtually all of them have the same essential elements of what a gamble is. A gamble is to wager money, bet money, on a hope of gaining more money. So you're putting down a certain amount with the hope that you'll get more money back. And you're doing it on the outcome of a game or a contest or an event which has an element of chance. Sometimes it's completely chance, by chance. Sometimes it's partly skill and partly chance, such as betting on a football result. You think you can, you look at it and you say, I think Manchester United will beat that team, so I will put down $100 on it. So there's an element of skill, an element of reasoning. But there's also an element of chance. There's an element you can't control. A very significant element you cannot control. So to gamble is to put down money, to gain more money, using chance, either partly or completely by chance, appealing to that, and where the outcome is dependent on at least one person gaining and one person losing, maybe many people losing. Okay? Now that's a significant situation, significant point to make. Now break that down into the various elements that make up a gamble. Number one, I've given you in the notes, a gamble or wager of money is with the hope of gaining more without effort. In other words, you're putting down money, hoping to get more money back without you having to do any work or anybody else do any work. Okay? That's different from putting money into stocks and shares. When you put $100 or $1,000 into stocks and shares, you're hoping that the company will work to give you more money back in your investment. There's work involved. When you put money down in a gamble, there's no work involved. It's pure wagering the money, hoping to get more money back. Okay, the horse might do some work, but that's about the only person who's doing the work. The second element of gambling is you're appealing to chance, either partially or completely, in the outcome of the event. That's what's driving your motivation. If luck shines on me, I will gain. If I get bad luck, I'll lose the money. That's in the mind of the gambler. That's what's involved. A third element of gambling, there's always a winner and always a loser. Most times it's one winner and a lot of losers involved in gambling. And there's no new wealth being created by the gamble. There's a fixed pot of money. One guy who wins the lottery, he gets this big pot of money. The rest gets zero. Okay? It's a fixed pot. That's different from stocks and shares. You invest $1,000 into Singtel shares. You're hoping that the company grows by its investment, by its strategies, its corporate strategies, and that $1,000 grows to $1,500, say. The company grows. The pot gets bigger. Everybody benefits. Okay? There's work done. There's contracts signed. There's income has come in to that company. Profits made by that company. It's very different from gambling. Gambling, you're putting the money down. The pot is fixed. One guy or more than one guy is going to lose. And most likely there's one winner or just a handful of winners. Okay? That's what's involved in gambling. That's what makes it unique. That's what makes it different. Now, I am prepared to concede that some financial products are almost like gambles. Okay? I don't advise you as a Christian to get involved in some of those financial products in the stock market and in the investment markets around the world. There are some that are pure gambles. Okay? There's no thinking involved. It's just putting money down and hoping that the price of gold goes up or goes down or something like that. It's pure gambling, in effect. I don't advise you to be involved in that. But in terms of what is pure gambling, I've given you a definition which I believe holds fast for most scenarios in life. Now, the Bible doesn't say anywhere, there's no 11th commandment that says, thou shalt not covet. Number 11, thou shalt not gamble. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible. But the principles that you and I are called to live by, I believe, lead us to one conclusion about gambling. It's wrong. it's inconsistent with the way a Christian should think. It's inconsistent with the life of a Christian. Now I'm going to explain why. If you've not read the notes, we'll go through them carefully. What are those principles? First principle is God ordained that man should work for a living. God ordained that you and I accumulate wealth by work. Even in the commandments, God said, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. 6 days God set aside for man to work. Even before the fall, Adam was given work to do in order to live. The fruit didn't fall down into Adam's hand. Adam and Eve had to go out and pluck the fruit. They had to go and work for their living. They had to dress the garden, God told them in Genesis chapter 2. So work was before the fall and after the fall ordained by God as the means of you and I accumulating wealth to live by, to feed our families. Nothing wrong with that. That's God's order. That's the way God wants you and I to live. Paul puts it very bluntly in the New Testament. It hasn't changed, by the way, Old Testament, New Testament. Same principles at work. Paul says if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. Shouldn't eat. Shouldn't be fed. Paul says that if a Christian doesn't provide for his family, talking about a Christian man, he's worse than an infidel, worse than an unbeliever. So, work is established by God as the means whereby you and I can gain wealth to feed our families. That's been the way from the beginning, right from the creation of this world. Okay? Now, there's one other way you can get wealth legitimately, and that is to inherit wealth from your parents or from some relative. The Bible also makes that clear. That's a legitimate way to accumulate wealth. But remember, your parents, where did they get the money? By working. So both times, the wealth you get either directly by your own work or you inherit from another relative has been gotten, achieved by working under God's order. Very important principle. Second principle, of course, I should just say by way of contrast, the gambler, he's hoping to get his wealth, or her wealth, in some cases, by not working. That's the whole point of gambling. That I gain without doing anything. I just put down a wager of money, and I get a big profit back, a big return on the money I put down, without doing anything. In fact, most gamblers, when they win big, like they win the lottery, what do? They give up work. You notice that? As soon as they're interviewed in the newspaper, almost all of them say the same thing. My resignation is in the post. I signed off this morning. I can't wait. I'm not going to work anymore. I'm going to go and enjoy my wealth. I'm going to retire. Now, gambling, by its very nature, demeans work. It undermines God's work ethic for man. God says you work for your money. The gambler and the gambling industry says, no, you don't work. You gamble. And you get all your wealth without working. Letting your money return by luck this wealth for you. So it undermines that great principle that God put in creation. Now, by the way, one of the reasons God wants us to work is grace. It keeps us away from sin. Idleness rarely is a friend to godliness. If you look in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16, you will discover one of the characteristics of a place called Sodom and Gomorrah was this. They had an abundance of bread, but then it tells us there was an abundance of idleness. The people in Sodom, they were able to conceive more and more perverted ways to sin because they had too much time on their hands. They had too much food, too much money. And they were able to sit at home and invent more and more perverted ways to sin. And one of the reasons God gave work to our children, to us as adults, is to keep us away from sin. It's a grace to us. It's a mercy to us. And gambling by its very nature, overturns, attacks that order, tempts us to idleness, tempts us to seek to get away from work as the source of our income. But then there's another principle I just want to say very quickly. The Bible is not against you and I enjoying physical exercise. If you like going swimming or playing football, please go and enjoy it. If you enjoy playing certain games with your children, it's not a sin. Not a sin. As long as it's not to excess, you don't, your whole life is not consumed by it. It's not a god in your life. But of course, anything that's associated with that, gambling that's associated with that particular sport, you keep away from that element. The Bible says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Okay? I think it's very difficult for a Christian, for example, to work in something like the horse racing industry. I think it would be very difficult as a Christian to be involved in that, because the whole essence of that industry is tied up in gambling, not just the horse racing. The horse racing is so much tied to the sin that I don't think a Christian could really distinguish between the two very easily. It would harm your testimony. Then a third principle, which I touched on earlier, is that gambling is rooted in the motivation of greed, discontentment, covetousness. Now, we've talked about this before. Why are people discontented? The answer is very simple. Because the devil has told them that if they can get something more, they'd be happy. The devil has told them that God, who's sovereign, has not done a good job for them in their life. That they could be wiser than God. They could make their life happier if they set God's will aside and got their own wealth by their own efforts. That's really the root of discontentment. Pride. Thinking you're wiser than God. Thinking God has given you a bad deal in life. Thinking that you could do it better if you were in control. And God, Bible says, for a Christian, be content. Be content. Be happy with what God gives you. If He gives you $1 million, be happy with $1 million. If He only gives you $100,000, be happy with your $100,000. If you have a one-room flat, be happy in your one-room flat. If He gives you a condominium, be happy in your condominium. Whatever God gives you, rejoice in it, be thankful for it, but be content in that area of your life. Don't try to covet what God hasn't given you. Now that doesn't stop, by the way, and I mentioned this in the notes. You can legitimately improve your life and your circumstances by hard work. Okay? I've already said hard work is not an enemy of godliness. Hard work is part of creation. If you work hard, you don't cheat, you don't steal, you obey the laws of Singapore, you don't diminish your testimony, you don't associate with any sinful product to do it, you don't harm your testimony, and your company grows or you get promoted in the workplace, there's nothing wrong with that. You can improve, you can get a bigger flat, you can move to a landed property, you can buy things that your parents didn't have. It's not a sin. Remember that verse we read last week from 1 Timothy chapter 6? God has given to us richly all things to enjoy. If He gives you more than you had 5 years ago, then you can enjoy it, as long as you don't sin in it, as long as you didn't steal the money, as long as you acquired it by hard work, you don't steal from God, you don't steal from others to get that wealth, you're entitled to enjoy it for the glory of God. Now, number four principle is this. The Christian is to find their ultimate contentment in God, not in material things. The world tells us this big lie, that you can find happiness and contentment in the things of this world. Now, you can find pleasure in the things of this world. You cannot find contentment in the things of this world. There's a difference between pleasure and contentment. Pleasure is just a temporary sensation that will go through your body and your mind by seeking happiness in the things of this world. That's why you meet a drunkard, you ask him, are you happy? He says, I'm happy. But the next day he wakes up, is he happy? No, he needs another drink. Get happy again. The pleasure was there for a season, but it didn't last. It wasn't contentment. You ask the guy that make $1 million, is he happy at that moment? He say, I'm happy. You ask him 5 years down the road, will he be happy? No, no. He wants another 1 million. He's 1 million, he wants to make it 10 million. The guy that commits adultery, is he happy at that moment of sinful lust? Yes, he's happy. He has pleasure. But is he content? No, because the next day he's out looking for another woman. No lasting contentment in it. And you and I as Christians, our ultimate contentment must be in God. Who He is. That He's in control of our lives. He's providing for us. He's making us more like Christ. And one day He's going to bring us all the way to heaven. That's the way you and I must see our lives. But then number five principle, fifth principle, because of time, that really, this gets to the real heart of gambling as well. Gambling is based on this element of chance or luck or fate. Now sometimes it's almost completely based on chance or luck or fate ideology. For example, when the guy throws the dice and you put down $50 that it will come up a 6 rather than a 1, 2, 3, 4 or 5. That's purely appealing to luck, isn't it? Purely appealing to luck. We can see that. When the guy bets on a football match, partly he uses his knowledge. He thinks this team is better than the other team. But he also knows that he has no control of the game, that there's an element, a significant element of luck involved in that match. It doesn't matter how good a team you have. It doesn't matter how many times they win the league. They can be beaten, can't they? On an off day. Maybe something goes wrong. Maybe the referee gives a penalty to the other team. Maybe they have many chances to score, but they just don't score. There are matches like that. The best team doesn't always win. So there's an element of luck, appealing to chance, when you bet on a football match. But the believer, true believer, who knows his Bible, knows that there's no element of luck in this world. We like to use terms like lady luck. The Chinese talk about good fortune, don't they? And they have all these little Chinese words to describe having double happiness and blessing and good luck. And they put money to their little gods, hoping that that will smile, lady luck will smile on them. That's the way people think here in Asia. But in the vocabulary of a Christian, there's no such thing as luck. Why? Because we know and we believe that God's in control of every event in this universe. That Genesis chapter 1 begins with this. In the beginning, God. The world starts with who? God. How does the world end when God says it's over? So from beginning to end, this world is created by God, is directed by God, is held together by God, and will end by God. In Him we have our being, the Bible says. In Him and Him alone. He upholds everything by the word of His power, the Bible says. Okay? So there's no such thing as coincidence. There's no such thing as luck. There's no such thing as fate that governs the thinking and the actions of a Christian. And when you and I were get involved in gambling, which has at the root of it an element sometimes completely governed by luck or chance in our thinking, we are acting contrary to our beliefs when we do that. We are living inconsistently with what we say we believe, that God's in control. Because once we start appealing to that, you know, Job made that great statement in Job chapter 1. After he lost all of his material possessions, he said, "The Lord giveth, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Notice Job didn't say, "Wow, bad luck. Wasn't it bad luck that those Sabaeans were there and took all of my flocks away?
wasn't it a bit of bad luck that the fire came down and killed all my children? No, 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 no.
Job says, no, 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 I don't live my life that way. There's no such thing as bad luck in Job's life. Job says, God gives, God takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's all His. He gives, He can take, He controls the future. He controls the past. He controls the present. I give Him the glory. He's in control. And you and I must acknowledge, not just in our words. You see, it's not enough to come to church. And the leadership of the church gives you a constitution, and the constitution says God's sovereign in all areas of the life of a Christian. And you just stand up and say, I want to be a member of this church, I believe this, I uphold those standards. It's not enough to say that. You must live that. You must go outside the door of this church, go into the business world, go into the banking world, go into the sports world, go into the personal entertainment and the games world, and you must live that way consistently. Remember, your testimony is more than what you do in church. Your testimony includes how you live your life outside the church. And if you live your life outside the church, getting involved in something like gambling that appeals to luck, that is rooted in an unbiblical philosophy and presupposition, that attacks the sovereignty of God, not promotes it, then you are sinning. You are doing wrong. You are diluting your testimony. Remember, the great principle of life is this: whatsoever you do all for what? The glory of God. Including playing sports? Yes. Including how you use your money? Yes. I said this last week. Don't look at your income and say 90%, 10% belongs to God, the other 90% I can do whatever I like with. No. It all belongs to God. All belongs to God. And all must be used for the glory of God. You can't say that the 10% that I have here, I give this to God, that's for God's glory. The other 90%, I can just do whatever I like with it. No. No. All of it belongs to God, and all of it must be given to God's glory, and you will be held accountable for how you use the other 90% of it. There are always people who come to you, I've heard people say this, they say, if I win the lottery, I'll give 10% to the church. Or they say, I'm putting the money on the horses, and I said to the Lord, Lord, if that horse wins, I'll give you 20% in the offering on Sunday. Now, people say, surely you as a church should be very happy with that mentality. Well, the Bible, Abraham gives us the example when he deals with the wealth of Sodom. There's certain money you don't want in God's work. Abraham says, I don't even want the shoe latchet from Sodom. I don't want a cent from Sodom in my household income. I don't want the winnings of Sodom in my family. And you and I in this church, we don't want Sodom's money. Because if we take the money from the gambler or the lottery winner, then we might as well take it from the guy who runs the prostitution ring. We might as well take it from the guy who runs the pornography shops. We take it from the guy who robs the banks, if we accept it from the gambler. Now, there's certain money you don't want. Don't want. Don't ever let the devil tell you that you can give more to God's work if you gamble and you're successful in your gambling. God will never bless that. You don't do wrong in order to do right. Now, it's true in this world that there are risks in life, isn't it? Does anybody here know that they'll be alive tomorrow? None of us can be sure. There are certain things that we have no control of. In fact, there are very few things in life that we have control of. Do we know when we're going to be born? No. Do we know what family we're born into? No. Do we know what IQ we'll be born with? No. Do we know what country we'll be born into? No. Whether it's rich or poor, communist or capitalist or whatever system, do we have any control over that? No. Do we know what day we're going to die? No. Much of life is outside our control. That's true. But the Christian is called to live life using the reason, the mind God has given us, invest in various things in life. But also, as we invest, James tells us, we say, if God wills. Always reminding us that, if God wills. If God allows me to live another day, He may bless me. He may provide for my family in this means. That's the difference between gambling and investing. A biblical investor. You can invest your money in a business venture as long as, James tells us, you keep reminding yourself, I don't control the future. As long as you tell yourself, I don't control the future, but luck doesn't control the future, God controls the future. God's in charge of how the economy of Singapore goes up or goes down. God's in charge of whether my company becomes profitable or unprofitable. It's up to Him. I leave it in His hand. I'll do my part. I'll be honest. I'll be transparent. I will do the right thing. I will obey the law. I will have clean hands and a pure heart before God and man. And I leave it up to Him whether the company succeeds or doesn't succeed. That's very different from the gambler. The gambler is just throwing the money. He has no thought of God blessing him one way or the other. He's just throwing the money down, hoping that luck will smile on him and the dice will roll his way. And he will win. That's all he's thinking about. The other element that is different from gambling and investing is this. If you go out and buy your shares tomorrow, get your remiser to buy you shares at Singtel, those shares, if they go up, nobody's losing, are they? The company has grown by its legitimate investments and made profit by the way it handles its business. It's not stolen, hasn't been corrupt. Then who has lost? Nobody. The company grows, the share price grows because the company's worth more, because the company has done well. That's it. There's no losers. But you gamble like the lottery, you gamble like betting, like the casino. For every one guy who wins, there's a whole bunch of suckers who've lost. Losers. And our newspapers tend to be focused on the big winners, don't they? They don't tell you who the big losers are. Big losers are. So, gambling is very, very different from investing in the business world, such as stocks and shares. Then people say, what about lots? In the Old Testament, we read of people casting lots. The priest cast lots. Joshua cast a lot to determine who was the sinner, when it turned out it was Achan by a lot. Well, the difference between casting lots and gambling was this. When the lots were cast in the Old Testament, they were to do what? Find the will of God. They were asking God to guide them to a particular person, to reveal God's particular will in a matter. They weren't cast these lots to make money for the person casting the lots. They weren't casting these lots in order to, they could win big and someone else could lose big. That wasn't the purpose behind it. Very different thinking. Very different philosophy or presupposition. Then number six. I mentioned this before, but let me repeat it again. God is the true owner of all our resources. We are commanded to provide for our families. We are called to give good, wise, prudent stewardship of our resources in this area. For any man or woman to take the resources God has given them to provide for their families and just waste it on gambling is bad stewardship. Very bad stewardship. In fact, it's appalling stewardship of the resources God gave you. And you'll find that many, many people lose their homes. Many, many people have lost their reputation. Many fathers have lost the friendship of their children and their spouses. Many fathers have been so consumed with this gambling addiction that they don't even spend time with their children. They steal the time they should be spending with their family because they're so caught up in gambling. They steal the reputation of their children, their family. People look at their home and say, that man's home, he's a gambler. He wastes his life. He wastes his family's income. He wastes his children's future by this gambling. And I've repeated those verses before. Any man that doesn't provide for his own household because of this gambling, he's worse than an infidel, the Bible says. He's a bad husband. He's a bad father. He's a bad steward of the resources God given. Casinos, bookies, they're not charities. I don't know if you realize this. They're not there to make you happy and to make you rich. That's not the purpose. They're there to make themselves rich. They're there to get more than they pay out. I remember a friend of mine who was an accountant in Belfast. He said to me, he never was tempted to gamble after he went to the bookies when he was to do an audit of a chain of bookies. And he went into the bookies and he looked around and he said, there were 6 windows to pay money in. And there was only 1 window to pay money out. And he said he learned very, very fast that this is a fool's game, a mug's game. That you pay, the chances of getting any money out are far, far smaller than the chances than the putting money in. The odds are against you. And we have this little expression in the West, I don't know if you have it here. We say this, we say the bookies always win. The bookies always win. They always do. The odds are always in favor of the bookies over the gambler. And you and I, if we are to be prudent over the resources God has given to us, we cannot afford to throw money away on gambling. Cannot. It's bad stewardship. Number 7, last principle. The Bible makes it clear repeatedly, Old Testament, New Testament, that you and I must never, as a Christian, exploit other people. We are to love our fellow man. We are not to steal from our fellow man. And gambling, by its very nature, has a winner, but also has a loser. And if you win when you gamble, you steal from a person from the wages they have earned by their own hard work. You are stealing from that family's money. You are getting money you never earned, you never worked for. Effectively, it's a legalized form of theft from the hard-earned work of that family. You are stealing some child's school fees. You are stealing some wife's shopping money. You are stealing some family's holiday money when you win in gambling. Make no mistake about that. You go all around the world. You see homes destroyed by this gambling vice. And you may win big. You may be one of the few that wins. But every penny that you win over and above what you put in, remember there's someone lost to get you that money. Some poor family is paying the price for you to have that money. And as a Christian, we are called not to take from our fellow man. We're told to give to our fellow man. The Lord Jesus Christ, we're told in Acts chapter 20, said this, it is more blessed to give than to receive. The gambler, he turns that the opposite around. He says, no. It's more blessed to take than to give. Take than to give. And if you talk to anybody caught up in gambling, they have no concern of the person who loses. All they're concerned about is what? Taking. The big win. Getting the prize. They forget that they have won, but someone else has lost. In fact, often it's more than one person. It's many, many people have lost in order for them to gain what they gain. And gambling, I believe, is not just a sin that breaks the commandment on covetousness. It breaks the commandment, thou shalt not steal. Because you are stealing money when you win that you never earned from another person. Now people say, well, it's legal. So what? It was legal. It's still legal to commit adultery. Doesn't make it right. It's still legal to kill a baby by abortion. Doesn't make it right. Just because something is not a criminal offense doesn't make it a legal right thing to do, a morally right thing to do. And any time you win gambling, you are stealing from another person. You're stealing the money of a family that needs, most likely, that money to survive in their situation. Now, what do we say by way of conclusion? Gambling is tied up in greed, discontentment, laziness. It's tied up in undermining the work ethic. God said, 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. It undermines that principle of working for a living. Gambling, by its very nature, rejects the sovereignty of God. It undermines your belief and your testimony that God's in control of everything by appealing to luck. Gambling is irresponsible. It's an irresponsible stewardship of the resources, limited resources that you and I have. Gambling, by its very nature, exploits others. There's losers, people who have worked hard for their money. Yes, I know they voluntarily give the money. I know they bet. But that doesn't mean that you haven't taken their money. You still have. You're guilty of that. Exploiting their foolishness. Exploiting their stupidity by taking that money and gambling. And I believe there's an abundance of teaching in all of the Bible that makes it crystal clear that for any Christian who professes the name of Christ, who says they believe that God can take care of them, that says they believe that God's sovereign, believe that God can preserve and provide for their family, any Christian who gets caught up in gambling, this get-rich-quick, putting money down to gain more money without any work, any Christian that gets involved in that harms their testimony. Any Christian that does that diminishes the cause of Christ. Any Christian that does that sins before God and before man. And I say to you this, be content. Be content with what you have. You see, if you're content with what God gives you, you don't need to gamble, do you? You don't need to gamble. If you're happy with the blessings God gives you, then you don't need to try and appeal to Lady Luck to gain more. You don't need to take a chance with the resources God has given you. And you'll find in life, if you haven't found it already, there's no ultimate satisfaction in the things of this world. I said in the notes, you can have your dinner this evening on gold plates, but the food will taste the same. You could buy a house with 20 bedrooms, but you can only sleep in one bed every night, unless you get up in the middle of the night and keep moving rooms. But you'll still sleep the same way as you slept in the one bed flat. We tend to forget that, don't we? Be content. The Bible makes that point over and over again. Be satisfied, be content with the things that God has given you. And if someone else gains something that you don't have, glory to God, let them enjoy it. You don't need to be jealous. Because if you look around the world, you'll always find a person who has more than what you have. You ever notice that? If you've done well in your exams in school, you'll always find another person, at least in another school, who's done better. You look around and you look for someone who you think you're an attractive looking person, you'll always find someone you think's more attractive. You look for the guy who has the most money in Singapore, you'll always find another person somewhere else in the world who's got even more money. Always is that way. Never be satisfied with material things. The Apostle Paul sums it up beautifully. He said this, godliness with content is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. If you want to be content, if you want to be satisfied as you live life here on earth, you won't find it in the casinos. You won't find it in the lotto. You won't find it gambling on horses, gambling on football matches. The only contentment you'll find is in the things of God. Godliness with contentment is create Ian. Work is God's gift to you and me. Keep us from sin. God has given us a reason, a mind, a logical mind, to use the resources that we have, to invest, to save, to put money aside, to exercise godly stewardship over our resources. Use the mind God has given you. Use the resources God has given to you for the glory of God. And Solomon, he says this. Listen to what... This is the richest man in the world who's ever lived. So don't listen to me. Listen to Solomon. Okay, there's nobody in this room has even a fraction of the income Solomon had. Here's what Solomon said. Better is a little with righteousness. Better to have a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Better, he says, to be a poor man with just a little. As long as you got it the right way, and you got it for the glory of God, and you live that way, than to be a wealthy man who's earned his money by sin, by gambling, by all kinds of other vices. He says, you won't be happy. And ultimately, you have to leave it all behind anyway. Please God. Give an account to God for all of your income. And let me just say this. It's one last minute. Give me one more minute. Then I'll stop. I don't know the lives of people here in this church. But I know from pastoring in another place. I know from talking to families that gambling is a curse that afflicts many Christian homes. Many Christian homes. And if you have succumbed to this vice in any form, the Bible says this, repent, which means confess and also means stop doing. Now you can't get your money back if you've lost it on gambling, but what you can do is stop losing it. Remember what we said about Saul? It's not enough to say, I played the fool. You must stop playing the fool. If you confess your sin, the Bible says, He is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Keep away from gambling. Keep away from gamblers. And you'll have a better life. You'll have a good testimony. And you can live for the glory of God. Don't live by chance. Don't live by lady luck. Don't live by fate. Live by faith in God, in God's promises, in God's provision, and in God's commands for your life and my life. Give chance a chance. No chance. No chance. Don't bet on gambling to make you a happy person. It never will. It never can. Let us pray.